Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to another episode of The Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network, with your host, as always, Kevin Cunningham. Before anything, you know, it's obviously been a while, which I have to apologize for, but the NBA Finals are right around the corner starting tomorrow. I'm not going to really talk much about the Finals, though. I'm going to basically gloss over just about everything else that's gone on in the NBA world over the last week or two. You know, a few coaching changes, some rumors about Tom Thibodeau and where he's going to end up, or whether it's this year or next year. A lot of coaching stuff, a lot of look-aheads for those new teams and the new coaches for the 2016 season. Also where Kevin Love's going to end up next season, 2 seasons from now, 3 seasons from now. Going to go over that. He's kind of staying true to I'm going to be a Cavalier next season, and, you know, all this contract stuff's going to work itself out. But at the same time, the Cavs have a lot of interesting decisions that they're going to have to make over the next couple months regarding the team. And obviously this series ahead of them is going to give some insight as to what they need. You know, whether that's Kevin Love at all or, you know, just how much they need him in general, essentially. You know, so plenty of stuff to go over without talking about the Finals directly. Tomorrow, going to have a show. I believe it'll be at 9 o'clock Central Time, 9 a.m. We'll see. But regardless, there'll be a show tomorrow morning regarding the Finals and just my take on what's going to happen. And a lot of that, I think, is going to be dictated by Kyrie Irving. So, you know, it's going to be interesting as far as seeing how healthy he is, because that's, to me, that's going to be enormous, because Golden State's defense ranks atop the league. And if you're Cleveland and you're relying on J.R. Smith and Shumpert and those off-key guys to, you know, essentially step up and be great players against the number one defensive team in the NBA, then things probably aren't going to work out for you over the course of a 7-game series. You know, having Kyrie Irving can help with the blows that Golden State is going to give you offensively, because Golden State's going to score the ball. There's no question about it. But without getting too much into that series, we'll start with Kevin Love. We'll start with Kevin Love and, you know, where I think he should go, what his salary is, you know, this upcoming year, if he does stay in Cleveland, if he takes his player option. That's kind of where he's, you know, headed financially. He's got a player option set for next year at $16.7 million. Now, this year he's making $15.7 million, so, you know, $16.7 million is certainly not anything to scoff at. But before anything else, before getting into, you know, coaching stuff and Kevin Love in depth, check out the redlightsportsnetwork.com. If you go to the top right of the page, you'll see a DraftKings click and go logo. Visit us. It obviously helps us. You can see all of our archived podcasts and blogs regarding, you know, any sports, regarding domestic violence. It's not just sports. There's a lot of different stuff up on the site, you know, stuff pretty much changing daily. Again, check out the redlightsportsnetwork.com for all that stuff. If you click and go to the logo on DraftKings, they've got promotions. You know, it seems like every other week there's a different promotion. You know, you deposit up to $200, we'll give you $200 on your first deposit, stuff like that. DraftKings is just kind of another way to, another outlet for your fantasy sport needs, so to say. Whether it's quarter leagues, 50 cents, a dollar, $50, $100, whatever you want to do, DraftKings and the Red Light Sports Network will guide you there. But back to Kevin Love. You know, again, he's going to make he made $15.7 million this past season, or this season. $16.7 is set for him next year if he takes his player option. In my opinion, you know, if you're Kevin Love and you're sitting there staring at $16.7 million, it's difficult not to take it. At the same time, if you are, you know, if you do decline that option, more than $16.7 million, and you don't have to worry about injuries derailing the rest of your career, which is essentially just more money. You know, so if you're Kevin Love, you're trying to bank on the money you can make as a player as soon as you can. And realistically, he can do that now. You know, the little the thing that makes this a little more interesting is the cap jump, you know, for the 2016-17 season. That's going to rise the cap probably around $30 million, $25 million. Right now the cap's at 62. I want to say it's either 62 or 63 for all NBA teams. You know, if you're not going to start paying luxury taxes. But it's 2016-17, the cap's going to rise to around $90 million. That's what people are estimating. So, you know, obviously every team gaining an additional $25 to $30 million, teams have more money to play with. So superstars, so to say, like Kevin Love, I don't consider him a superstar. I think he's, you know, an A-minus player. You know, players like him will obviously be set to make more money than just $16, $17, $18 million a year. You know, LeBron this year is making 20. I think the last few years in Miami, he made like 17, 18. You know, can LeBron make more? Absolutely. Will he? Absolutely. You know, he also has a player option this next year. But for Kevin Love, I mean, it seemed like a couple weeks ago, once he went down and Cleveland started rolling, you know, they got past Chicago, and then they were just rolling over Atlanta game by game. The general consensus was, do we, you know, if you're Cleveland, do you actually need Kevin Love on your team? And if you don't, you know, if you can just roll through the East and get to the finals every year with Kyrie and LeBron and, you know, role players like J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Timothy Mozgov, Shumpert, guys of that nature, then why waste $16 million? Well, it's not even going to be 16. It's going to be more like 20, 25, depending on when Love decides to cash in realistically. But it's truly all about need and want. You know, if your team... I'm trying to think of a team. If you're a team like Charlotte, for example, you're the Charlotte Bobcats, and you want a power forward that can stretch the floor offensively. Because you have your center, you've got some guards to play with. You have Kemba Walker, but you have Al Jefferson, and you're just kind of looking for a format. Jefferson's sitting there in the paint. You know, and if you're Charlotte and you've got plenty of money to spend, you know, why not have Kevin Love and Al Jefferson be your front court? That would be, you know, spectacular. If you're Cleveland, the drop-off from Kevin Love to Tristan Thompson in some respects isn't even a drop-off. Some people think Tristan Thompson, if given, you know, 35 minutes a game on a regular basis, is a better rebounder than Kevin Love. He attacks it more, more tenacious, just a hungrier player. That's what makes Kenneth Freed a great rebounder. You know, it's not necessarily God-given ability. It's how much he wants it. And Kevin Love's a fantastic rebounder. But Tristan Thompson, the whole rebounding thing isn't, you know, a huge drop off from Love to Tristan Thompson. Like I said, some people think Thompson's a better rebounder. But so if Kevin Love is demanding $22-25 million eventually a year from Cleveland, and Tristan Thompson's asking for $15-16 million, you know, then maybe you do say, hey, you know what, let's save 7, 8, 10 million a year and go with a guy who offensively obviously isn't as gifted as Love, defensively is more gifted than Love. And so you have to kind of weigh your options if you're Cleveland. It really depends on what Kevin Love is after. If he's after solely money, it's probably not going to come from Cleveland because Cleveland has options in Tristan Thompson. If it is for money, then he could take the player option this next year and then just completely cash in when he can make $25, $28 million a year with a new team once the cap jumps. Again, every team's going to be getting at least another $25 million to play with. So it's going to be very telling for some players as to where their hearts really are. If you're Kevin Love and you want to sign with Cleveland and make 16, 18 a year, they'll probably give it to him. 26, 28 a year with a team like Charlotte and have a really good team, but never really, you know, make a serious push at a title. Yeah, I'm just using Charlotte as a complete example here. But that's, it's kind of my point, is him going to a mediocre team, making them a better team, obviously, but never challenging, you know, a Golden State or, you know, any serious team out west or a team like Cleveland out east. It'll be very telling for players, you know, opting out of 2015-16 deals and being on unrestricted free agents in 2016-17. Supposedly from Love, he's going to be back next year, which to me, what I would do personally is take the $16 million with Cleveland, see how next year goes. Because, I mean, let's be real here. Over these last 2 years, he made $15 million. And next year, if he made $16 million, with change to both of those, it would equal $32 million. 15-7 and 16-7. So 32-4 total, just over these last 2 years. He's doing just fine money-wise. I mean, ultimately, if you can make an additional 10 a year for the next 5 years in a place like Charlotte as opposed to Cleveland, is Charlotte a better place to live? Probably, from what I've heard. And you're, you know, making another $50 million over 5 years in total, if that's the actual difference. If that's, you know, hypothetically, Cleveland pays them $18 million a year, Charlotte offers $28 once the cap jumps. Then, you know, is the extra $50 million worth it when you've already made $80 million and you're set to make another, you know, $18 million over 5 years? That's what, 36, 72, 90 million. I mean, if you're sitting there at, you know, 150 million at the end of your career with five rings, being part of a crucial part of a dynasty, winning titles, I would say that's fairly successful. As opposed to kind of cowarding out and having 200 million as opposed to 150 million, cowarding out, not winning any titles. Maybe they win this year. Maybe they'd win next year. But, you know, having zero or one title as opposed to five, it just kind of, you know, depends on where your morals are at. Not necessarily morals, but, it, you know, that's money. I mean, that, a lot of problems are built off money. And that's what Kevin Love faces going forward. Do you want a better chance to win and make $18 million a year? If Cleveland even, you know, thinks it's worth offering him that. Or if they're just going to straight go ahead with Tristan Thompson because they think Thompson's a little cheaper, a little younger, and just better, a better team fit for the cost to save a few million every year. You know, this is all based on what Cleveland wants to do because at the end of the day, they're going to have the final say. But, like I said, for a lot of these players, it's going to come down to, you know, for love, for example. Do I want $200 million at the end of my career with three titles, four titles, or do I want $150 million with zero or one? That's, at the end of the day, the question he has to ask himself. Me personally, I take the $16.7 million option next year, stay in Cleveland, see what you can do, and then weigh your options out from there. If you think Cleveland's the best place going forward for you for the next 5 years with Kyrie and LeBron aging, but, you know, still being the smartest player on the court and setting guys up like yourself if you're Kevin Love, you know, and that's the best way to reach the finals for the next 5 years of your career while making, you know, $18 million a year. I don't see that as a problem. Seriously contending for titles, making $18, $20 million a year. I think that's doing yourself just fine as an NBA player. Maybe that's just me. To me, personally, ultimately, to get off this Kevin Love subject, I think he takes the player option next year. He surprises some people, takes the option, says, you know what, whatever, just give me my $16 million. I'll play this out and then see what my options are next year, at the end of next year, once the cap rises and every team can offer, you know, unrestricted free agents whatever they want to. Essentially up to around $30 million is what it's projected to be per, you know, max contract, so to say, under that new cap. So I think he stays in Cleveland next year. I think he takes his player option. And then for the long term, it really depends on what Cleveland values Tristan Thompson at. Because I don't think they can pay both Love and Thompson $18 a year for the next 5 years, and keep guys like J.R. Smith and Mozgov and Shumpert. You know, they still have to pay Thompson and Shumpert this year, as well as Mozgov most likely, because Mozgov has a essentially $5 million team option. So that's a team option. So they'll definitely keep that. So Mozgov will be with the team next year for sure. But they're going to eventually have to pay him, you know, $8, $10 million a year, whatever they value him at, and what other teams value him at, once the cap jumps. This next series against Golden State is going to be huge. Because if they can come close with Tristan Thompson, then maybe Kevin Love's not worth it. If they lose in five or get swept, then maybe you start to think, hey, we kind of need Kevin Love if we want to truly get over the hump, whether Kyrie's 100% or not. This team is obviously better with Kevin Love available. That's not the question. The question is, if you believe in Thompson, pay the $18 million per year for Kevin Love, $20 million a year, whatever it's going to take to keep him in Cleveland, as opposed to going elsewhere and making a little more money, so that you can have that extra $18, $20 million a year to dish out to role players. Guys like Shumpert, guys like J.R. Smith, guys like Mozgov, whoever their backup point guard is going to be. So, Cleveland's got some decisions to make. Ultimately, I think Kevin Love is in a Cavs uniform next year and takes his player option. That's long story short. But so outside of Love, got about, let's see here, 20 minutes. Another 25 minutes. Basically just going to go over all the coaching changes. To start with New Orleans, this was, I feel like it was a week ago, week and a half, something like that. This is probably the oldest one I'll talk about. But Alvin Gentry, the former Suns coach and the current Golden State Warriors, I'm not even sure what his exact title is. He's the next man in charge behind Steve Kerr, whether that's lead assistant or associate head coach, whatever you want to call it. He's the new head coach of the Pelicans starting next year. You know, he's with Golden State for the NBA Finals. But so you look at, you know, the Pelicans, whether Gentry's the right guy. Gentry wants to get up and down the court. and having a guy like Anthony Davis, you know, is going to help that process. Core, for the most part, is back next year. If you're New Orleans, just looking at their salary cap situation going forward. Under contract, Anthony Davis has a $7 million team option. Anthony Davis is worth much more than $7 million. He is going to get that $30 million or so a year starting 2016-17 once the cap jumps. So this next year, he'll remain cheap. This season, they made $5.6 million. Next year, he's going to make $7 million on a team option. But Anthony Davis, money-wise, is going to be doing just fine. But so, if you're New Orleans and you're Alvin Gentry, I think it's a great hire. I think Alvin Gentry should be a head coach. And I think with a superstar down low that can move, I think that's perfect for him. So I think New Orleans is, you know, they can be on the upswing. It obviously depends on more than just Davis and their head coach. But, you know, if Eric Gordon can be solid and Tyreke Evans can be solid, if Drew Holiday can get better, can continue to improve. Next year, for New Orleans, you get a $15.5 million option on Eric Gordon. That's, you know, ultimately where a huge decision has to be made. Eric Gordon, just from the top of my head, this past season, I think he did well. But in terms of, you know, being worth $15 million a year, that's a different story. You know, he shot 41% from the field. But on the good side of things, Eric Gordon also shot 44% from three this past year. So, you know, is he worth $15 million to this team next year? To me, he is. But, you know, the big question for New Orleans going forward, so personally, I would take the option. Actually, it's a player option. So I'm looking at this wrong. So Eric Gordon's got a player option next year for $15.5 million. So he's going to take it. The question really for New Orleans is going to be starting once they get the cap jump in 2016-17, 2 years from now. But so they're going to have Gordon on the books. They're going to have Tyreek on the books. They're going to have Drew Holiday on the books. They're going to have Ryan Anderson on the books. They're going to have Anthony Davis. Going to have Quincy Pondexter. They have to make a decision on Omer Asik. Have to make a decision on guys like Norris Cole, Luke Babbitt, Ajinka inside. So essentially all of their, you know, bench guys. They have to make a decision on. So this could be a very different looking Pelican team next season, outside of the core. And then for 2016-17, once they get a boatload of money, you know, Davis is obviously going to make the max. But if he wants to, if he wants to stay in New Orleans, which to me, you know, he can get paid the most in New Orleans. He can be the guy that can be the centerpiece for that franchise and build around him. So I think he stays, personally. You know, there's no word out there that, you know, says Anthony Davis is frustrated with New Orleans in general or his teammates. Can he go elsewhere and make $25, $28 million a year? You bet he will. You bet he can after next season. But he'll be able to make the most money with the Pelicans because they're his team. And he can get the max salary, which will be, like I said, it's estimated to be around $30 million a year if the cap does go up to around $90 million. And it's at about $62 right now. So New Orleans' core is intact next year. They've got, you know, Norris Cole, Luke Babbitt, Alexis Ojinka, Jimmer Fredette, Dante Cunningham, Jeff Withey, Tony Douglas, all coming off the books this year. They have to make a decision on all those guys, including Omar Asik. So the Pelicans bench, essentially, could be all new. There will probably be some that stick around. But, you know, I think Alvin Gentry is the right hire. And I'm excited to see what he can do with Anthony Davis with his plans. Because I think Alvin Gentry has done more than the average person would realize for Golden State. I think Steve Kerr has helped them a lot, as opposed to Mark Jackson. I think Mark Jackson did, you know, a solid job with Golden State. I think that this was supposed to be their breakout year. But, you know, Steve Kerr obviously had something to do with it, but I think Alvin Gentry had something to do with it as well. I think he's a good coach. I think with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, they'll be contending for playoff spots at least. You know, the roster's going to look completely different 2 years from now. But with that coach, that superstar inside who's 6'11 and can run and do everything Gentry wants to as a coach, they're going to be just fine. They're going to be a good team going forward for, you know, the next 5-6 years. So that's New Orleans. I think they did a good job hiring Gentry. Can talk about Orlando and hiring Scott Skiles. And Skiles, to me, just isn't a good head coach. Plain and simple. You know, if you're Orlando and you wanted a coach, to me, if I were Orlando, you know, I think Billy Donovan's a good head coach. I would have thrown a lot of money at him. I don't know if they did or they didn't. But ultimately, for, you know, for Donovan to stay in state and take a young team over, you know, ultimately will want to, then I think, you know, that would have been smart. I don't think Scott Skiles is the guy to get the job done. You know, he did very mediocre things in Milwaukee. His recent stop as a head coach. Before that with the Bulls. Did very mediocre things. In Phoenix, he had good teams. And then he was average for halfway through the year and got fired. He's never made it to the conference final as a head coach. He has coached for 3, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 years. He's never made it to the conference final. That obviously has a lot to do with what team you're coaching. So it's not all on him. But in Phoenix, started out well, made the possible, and then his third year in Phoenix, you know, was 25 and 26 before he got fired. Chicago, his first year, they won 19 games. They were bad. The next 3 years, all made the playoffs, but again, 2 first-round exits, a conference semifinals exit. And then in 07-08, his final year in Chicago, his fifth year, he started the year 9-16 and got fired. Milwaukee missed the playoffs 3 of his first 4 years. The 1 year he made the playoffs, the team was 46-36, and they lost in the first round. The year after that, missed the playoffs. The year after that, missed the playoffs. The year after that, started the year 16-16. Clearly, things weren't going great. Got fired again. I just don't think he's a good head coach, personally. I just don't think he's the guy. the answer. He played with the Magic, so that's cool. But as far as his coaching ability, and you know, I think he can be okay, and I think Orlando will improve under him solely because their roster is young and they're all going to get better. But Orlando also has a couple of decisions to make financially. Vucevic inside their center made $2.7 million this past year, this season. He's coming off the books. He's an unrestricted free agent next year. They're going to have to pay him if they want him. Double-double guy inside. Tobias Harris, $2.3 million this year. Next year, completely off the book, unrestricted free agent. He's going to be making money. And then you got Willie Green, Kylo Quinn off the bench, off the book. Otherwise, everyone else is intact. Orlando's a very young team, but they do have a couple guys to pay. There's no question about it. Yeah, Tobias Harris has quickly made a name for himself. Vucevic, he's also only 24. Tobias Harris is 22. Orlando's got a young core. They can make it work next year because no one's making $8 million on that team. The team had a cap of $53 million this year. The cap's 62. They could have signed another $9 million in a player or multiple players. They've got another $55 million. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Got another $25 million, right? Yeah, another $25 million. So, you know, if you want to pay Vucevic 12 and Tobias 13, they could probably get it done. If both those guys wanted to stay and take, you know, a couple million left. I'm sure Tobias can make 15 somewhere, 16 somewhere. I'm sure Vucevic could do the same. They're both young players who are getting better, and they're already good. If they wanted to stay in Orlando with this core, I'm sure they could, though. And realistically, if you're paying those guys 15 a year, that those are going to look like good deals once the cap jumps. 15 a year for good young players, ascending players, that's going to look good in a couple years. That's why as a Celtics fan, they signed Avery Bradley to a four-year deal last year for $8 million a season. $8 million a season now for a very average shooting guard, undersized shooting guard, is an deal. But in a couple years, even if he's coming off the bench at $8 million a year, he's a great defensive player. He's an average three-ball shooter, needs to get better at it, concerning. But he's a great defensive player. And if that's your defensive stopper coming off the bench for $8 million a year, who's still young, that's going to be a great contract. You know, 2, 3, 4 years from now. So getting guys like Vucevic and Tobias Harris for 15 a year now, maybe they're not worth it next season, but 2, 3, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, those will be good deals. So Orlando is a team that I think could be very dangerous going forward. Scott Skiles is the guy to lead that team going forward, and unfortunately I just don't see that happening realistically. I'm going to check what draft pick they have. I'm curious. I want to say it's top six. Yeah, they've got the fifth pick. So, again, they're going to add another really good player. You're probably going to have Okafor and Towns go. You're probably going to have Moody and Russell go within those top four. maybe one of those guys slides out, either Moody or Russell. Or even if it's Towns or Okafor, I mean, you take any of those four. But, you know, if you added a wing like Winslow, or if you lost a guy, whether it's Harris or Vucevic, you could replace them in this draft with the number five pick. So Orlando going forward, roster-wise, I love it. Coaching-wise, Scott Skiles, I just don't think he's the guy for the job. End of story. So lastly, got about 8 minutes left here. If you're the Bulls, a lot of people, and this is kind of the difference between great franchises and franchises that are just happy to be good. You're the Atlanta Hawks, and you've got the coach of the year, and you win 60 games, and you get swept by a depleted Cleveland team. Kyrie Irving doesn't play in two of the games. Game four, not 100%. You still get swept. You had a successful season if you're Atlanta. Is that incorrect? If you're Chicago, you couldn't get past LeBron again. You had a 2-1 series lead. You were up 11 with 1 minute left to go in the third quarter of game four. You're up 2-1 on a depleted Cleveland team. You end up losing the series 4-2. Cleveland wins the next three games. If there's a time to beat Cleveland, it was now. But Pau Gasol gets an injury. I don't think that's a freak thing. Pau Gasol is a little old. Plus the team was fairly healthy. But Noah's got concerns going forward. I mean, Chicago is, you know, next year they could be better. But they're going to have to pay some money for Jimmy Butler. And where that's going to come from, you know, they're going to be paying luxury tax money this next year, which in reality, I think you do if you're an owner. I think you pay, you know, that luxury tax now, but you sign Jimmy Butler for $20 million a year, $22 million a year going forward, and that $22 million a year looks better 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. When guys are making 28, 30, your superstar, so to say, the star on your team, is making 22. I give him whatever he wants. If that means dumping a guy like Gasol or trading a guy like Mirotić or Gibson, or personally, I think even Noah, then so be it. I don't think Jimmy Butler's a superstar, but I think he's a rising star. I don't think money is going to get in the way of him becoming a better basketball player year in and year out. So, you know, if you're Chicago and you look at this season as kind of a disappointment. Coming into the year, I thought Chicago was the team coming out of the East. I thought they were the best overall team coming into the season. It was the first year for Cleveland and their new group. Ultimately, if they don't get Shumpert and J.R. Smith and Mozgov, that team's not making the finals. You know, so that was, couldn't be seen as happening. But if you're Chicago, that's, you know, this past year was not a success. If you're Atlanta, it's a success winning 60 games, having the coach of the year, having your team buy into the aspect of playing team basketball. Kyle Korver shooting nearly 50% from three. You had a great overall team. You just collapsed against the Cavs. But so that's the difference between a team that's not used to being there and being happy with their coach, and Chicago ultimately firing their coach in the press conference, which got some fans mad, saying Tom Thibodeau was a decent part of our success the last few years, but realistically it wasn't a success, so he doesn't deserve that much recognition for it. To me, I think Thibodeau did an okay job. I think he did a solid job. But seriously, with this team, that's where they should have gotten. You know, they should have met with Cleveland. To me, they probably should have beat him. But that's not all on the coach. But so I think Thibodeau did fine. I don't think he got necessarily whacked in the press conference like some fans think he did either. But I don't necessarily think that he's the guy going forward if he's not talking to his bosses for the last 4 months of the season. I mean, if there's a disconnect there and your team's not getting over the hump, then I have no problem hiring a guy like Fred Hoiberg. It was only a matter of time before Hoiberg came into the NBA as a coach. He played in the league. A great job with Iowa State. And honestly, I love college basketball. I probably would have made Iowa State my favorite next year had Hoiberg stayed. Now they're not to me. Maybe a team like Carolina is the favorites. This is coming from a Duke fan, so that's disheartening. But I don't consider Iowa State the favorites to win the title next year without Hoiberg. With Hoiberg, I probably would have made them my favorite heading into the year. They've got a really good team, and Hoiberg's a really good coach. I think he's going to do as good a job as you can do with the Bulls. He's going to take their offense to another level. Defensively, they probably won't be as stout, but offensively, they're going to be much better. That obviously depends a lot on health and aging guys like Gasol. Noah has injury problems. Rose obviously has injury problems. Aging guys like Dunleavy, will he be back? Getting Doug McDermott the ball more, utilizing your first-round pick, as opposed to not utilizing your first-round pick like Tom Thibodeau did. So I think that Chicago's offense next year will be a lot better. I think their defense will be a little worse. But pay Jimmy Butler if you're Chicago. Take the luxury tax hit now. It won't be a hit in 2016-17, 2 years from now, once the cap jumps. You'll be fine, cap-wise. But sign Jimmy Butler and make him the guy going forward that you can build around, because that's a guy you want to build around. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar, but he's a guy that making $22 million a year going forward isn't going to be the max deal. He's going to be worth $22 million a year. Going forward, he's 25. You signed him to a 5-year deal, he'll be 30. He'll be great. He won't be a superstar, but he'll be great. If you're Chicago, personally, I think Thibodeau wasn't the guy going forward to win a title. I think Fred Hoiberg can. I believe in him a lot. I think Iowa State is going to be a great team this next season. They would have been my favorite in college basketball next season had Hoiberg stayed. And I think you have to pay Jimmy Butler. Let's see what happens next year, and then you make the decision on guys like Noah and Rose going forward.